Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. We are here to help you improve your American English skills and learn about important world events at the same time. Today we have two stories about technology. How can satellites help predict disease outbreaks down on Earth? Details are just moments away. Then, the use of technology in the fight against terrorism. Two stories you need to hear, coming up on As It Is. Meningitis is spreading across West Africa. The brain disease is a threat every year across 21 African countries. Health officials call this area the meningitis belt. Now, scientists have found they can predict and prepare for this and other diseases. How? They use information from satellites orbiting the Earth. Every year, dust storms blow across the Sahel area of Africa, and every year, meningitis crosses the Sahel after the storms. Carlos Perez Garcia Pando is an atmospheric scientist with the American Space Agency, NASA. He spoke to VOA on Skype.
Meningitis has been one of the most feared dry season diseases in Africa for a long time.
The Sahel stretches from the West African nation of Senegal to Ethiopia in the east. Tens of thousands of people across this area get the disease each year. About 10% of those infected die from the disease. Another 10 to 20% suffer permanent brain or nerve damage. Mr. Garcia Pando says scientists have yet to understand why meningitis appears to follow the seasonal dust storms in the Sahel. But he says experts do have the technology to study the storms. Satellites can watch these storms develop and examine the conditions that create them. The NASA scientist says dust storms are his specialty. Yet he admits he had not studied meningitis until the World Health Organization contacted him. There are not enough vaccines available to protect everyone in the Sahel from meningitis. But Mr. Perez Garcia Pando says it would help to know when and where the disease will strike. So he and other researchers developed a system that studies satellite measurements of dust, wind, and humidity levels across the Sahel. The researchers also need to know the number of cases already identified by the end of the year. Using this information, they found they could predict how bad the next meningitis season would be. This is just one of several ways experts are looking to the skies for help in predicting the spread of disease. Nita Barty is with Penn State University. She says she can predict the spread of measles by watching city lights grow brighter.
The changes in brightness are telling us something about increasing and decreasing human aggregation, and that's very likely driving the transmission of measles.
Miss Barty spoke to VOA on Skype. She says the disease measles loves a crowd. In Niger's capital, Niamey, the population grows in the dry season as farmers arrive from the countryside. They are looking for work in the city. Brightness from their electric lights and cooking fires can be seen in satellite imagery of the area. Miss Barty and her team found they could predict how measles would spread through Niamey by watching parts of the city light up.
The satellite can become a really powerful public health tool.
That was Rita Colwell of the University of Maryland. Her group found it could predict cases of the deadly disease cholera in Bangladesh by using satellite information about conditions in the Bay of Bengal. Cholera bacteria live on sea creatures that eat very small organisms known as plankton. She and NASA researchers thought they could predict an increase in cholera cases by studying plankton levels in the water.
I'll never forget, we were doing the calculations, and bingo, it just fell right into place. It was very exciting.
Her group and other researchers hope to use satellites in disease prediction, as other scientists use them to predict the weather. I'm Jim Tedder. You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Before the end of the month, U.S. lawmakers must decide what to do about a federal government program for gathering intelligence. The National Security Agency currently is able to collect records about telephone calls made in the United States. The NSA has permission to use the information in the government's fight against terrorism. The information gathering has angered many civil liberties activists and some members of Congress. As Christopher Jones Cruz reports, lawmakers can support extension of the program, propose changes, or even cancel it.
Last week, a federal appeals court said the collection of so much information was illegal. But the court did not order the NSA to stop it. Even before that ruling, some members of Congress were calling for changes in the way the NSA operates. Patrick Leahy is on the Senate Judiciary Committee and a member of the Democratic Party.
I believe we have to protect our national security, but we also have to protect our civil liberties, which make us unique as a country.
The program was first revealed by Edward Snowden, who once had a job with a company that worked for the NSA. He showed that the agency was gathering records about phone calls made within the United States. His claims angered many Americans. Last year, President Barack Obama sought to lessen the country's fears about the program.
The United States is not spying on ordinary people who don't threaten our national security. And we take their privacy concerns into account in our policies and procedures.
The NSA reportedly collects and stores phone records, but it does not keep records of what was said. After the appeals court ruled that the program was illegal, several Republicans spoke in support of the NSA's activities. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was one of the speakers.
The NSA can find connections from known terrorists overseas and connect that to potential terrorists here in the United States. Critics of the program either want to do away with it or make it much more difficult to use.
Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr also opposes calls to end the program.
We're going to keep America safe. We're not going to let it revert back to where we're susceptible to another 9/11.
But other lawmakers believe the program is a threat to privacy, including Senator Rand Paul, who is seeking the Republican nomination for president.
I say the phone records of law-abiding citizens are none of their damn business.
President Obama says the fact that political leaders are talking about the program shows the difference between the U.S. and other nations.
No one expects China to have an open debate about their surveillance programs, or Russia to take privacy concerns of citizens in other places into account. But let's remember, we are held to a different standard precisely because we have been at the forefront of defending personal privacy and human dignity.
Many experts believe the Supreme Court will one day decide whether the program is legal under the U.S. Constitution. The Supreme Court is often asked to make a final ruling on decisions made by appeals courts. Until such a ruling comes, Congress can extend the program order changes to it or cancel it. Lawmakers from both parties say it is important for national security and civil liberties that they make the right decision. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. This is VOA, the voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Do you consider yourself a morning person or an evening person? If you like to wake up early, you are what we call a lark. If you prefer staying up late, you are a night owl. These are two slang expressions you will need to know to understand the following report. It will also be helpful to know these two commonly used words, midnight and habit. Midnight is simply the middle of the night, or 12 a.m. Habit is something that a person does often in a regular and repeated way. The two biological terms you will need to know are metabolism and chronotype. Metabolism is the chemical process by which a plant or animal uses food and water to grow, heal, and make energy. A chronotype simply refers to when an organism prefers to sleep and wake. A new study in South Korea found that night owls are at increased risk of developing diabetes, more so than larks. Researchers found this to be the case even when the two groups slept the same number of hours. The study found that people who go to bed well after midnight develop more health problems than people who go to bed early. Orfeo Buxton studies the human brain and nervous system in the Division of Sleep Medicine at Harvard Medical School. Mr. Buxton was not involved in the Korea study, but he says that the relationship between sleep and disease has to do with the human body clock. He says the clock prepares the body for activities linked to time of day. He says eating in the morning is something human bodies seem ready for. He says humans shut down as night comes. So eating at night is more likely to have unwanted results, like weight gain around the middle of the body. The Korean researchers compared the health habits and metabolism of just more than 1,600 participants, ages 47 to 59. They divided the group by their so-called chronotype, or sleep-wake cycle. Just more than 33% of them were identified as morning chronotypes. Evening chronotypes made up just less than 6%. The other 60% of the 1,600 people were somewhere in the middle between early risers and those who stayed up late. The researchers found that night owls, or evening chronotypes, had higher levels of body fat and fats in their blood. They also had more muscle wasting than the larks. This was true even among younger evening chronotypes. Mr. Buxton says people whose jobs start later in the day were more likely to have the signs that put them at increased risk for diabetes. He says the night owls generally had unhealthier lifestyles, including less exercise. He says more of them also smoked tobacco and ate later in the day. I'm Anna Mateo.